Atlassian software like Jira, Confluence, and Trello help power global collaboration for all teams, so they can accomplish everything that's impossible alone. Because individually we're great, but together we're so much better. That's why millions of teams around the world, including 75% of the Fortune 500, trust Atlassian software. Learn how to unleash the potential of your team at Atlassian.com. That's Atlassian.com. Atlassian.
Today, healthier is happening at CVS Health in more ways than you've ever seen. It's wellness destinations for seniors, including select locations with Oak Street Health and CVS Pharmacy. It's doctors, nurses, pharmacists, and everyone in between, offering quality care and support virtually, in person, and on the phone. It's in-home evaluations through Signify Health and meeting mental health needs through Aetna. And those are just a few of the ways healthier is happening. To see more, visit cvshealth.com/healthierhappenstogether. CVS Pharmacy, Oak Street Health, CVS Specialty, Signify Health, and Aetna are part of CVS Health. Eligibility and services vary by location and individual.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Yeah. Yeah, what do you want? Beak or jaws? Feathers or fur? Sharp teeth or feet with claws? Whatever's preferred. They'll grant you all last requests to steady your nerves. Then podcast the body parts, get severed and served. Bring your weak shit where the wolf and owl are. That ain't just a mistake, that's an awful howler. Both of them are known to pull up at your shows. Have the crowd witnessing a murder like they rolled in with a gang of crows. Fuck the censorship, let them see the whole thing. They stay dressed to kill, never sheep's clothing. Dark enough to turn the sun to the moon. You'll see nothing, all you hear is a huff a puff. Expect killings, red spilling and flesh ripping. Impressive in it, the death bringing his head spinning. Just kidding, every word in his song's about two grown men dressed up as a bird and a dog.
Welcome to the Wolf and Owl podcast. Was it the last episode? Which one's the one we had the trailer on? I can't remember.
I think it was the last main episode, but this is... No, the bonus episode we didn't.
Right.
I mean, look, you know... I know. Are you thinking I should do one every week? I could do like a rom-com.
I mean, I didn't give you any hint that that's what I was thinking, but you've run into that. But yes, the truth is, after you did that trailer thing, when James, our editor, sent us, he said, "I've done this thing with a trailer. See what you think." And so I played it to Lisa, and it's genuinely the first thing that I've been involved in. And I say been involved in, you did it and James edited it. So not really. It's the first thing that she looked genuinely fucking impressed by. She was like, "Oh, that's great. That's so good."
For me, the trouble is I sort of went in so big, it's hard to ever recreate something like that now.
Mm,
mm. It's a bit like when you score like opening game of the World Cup, 3 minutes in, you score an absolute fucking rocket of a shot.
Yeah.
It's very hard to... The rest of the tournament, you're fucked.
Absolutely, so. Yeah. And you're saying that as someone who's regularly competed in World Cups as well. So it's definitely something that you can sort of comment
I'm
on
from
experience.
I'm saying that as someone who has played at international level, football-wise. So.
Do you know what? It's so typical of you lot, doing soccer aid. Step up there like you've fucking actually been selected.
Because of our prowess. Not because someone in a fucking production meeting's turned around and gone, "Wouldn't it be funny to see Tom Davis play football?"
Who would be the funniest selection of...
Yeah, and you know at some point around that table someone said, "Well, we'll ask about Romesh, but no, he's pretty busy at the moment." So next stop would be that big fat guy that he does.
Yeah, the idea that you think you're the next step below me is almost an insult.
Alan Carr's busy too?
Yeah,
I'm joking.
How are you though, bro? You good?
Well, I'm good. You know why I'm really good is because I saw you in the flesh yesterday.
Mate.
Which was...
How good did that feel?
Oh, no. I mean, this... Look, guys, just I'm gonna get this cleared up. There was a lot of social distancing,
yes,
which was tough for me. We've both been tested. We both wore masks. May I say, by the way, Romesh's mask was absolutely drippy. It was unreal how cool that... Romesh, by the way, turned up lit yesterday. Lit. hoodie matched the mask. The coolest pair of trainers I've ever seen. They were like the Cinderella. It's like a Prince Charming had slipped them upon your foot that morning.
Do you know what it is? Part of the reason for that is whenever I turn up to King Gary for rehearsals, I know also that I'm going to have to go into costume to see what nest of fucking shits you've got for me to slip on. And so I almost feel like I've got to be extra drippy when I turn up there to sort of keep myself a steam up as I step myself into the next pair of sandals or flip-flops that you've arranged for Stuart to wear.
Yesterday, in costume after you left, I went in to say, oh, how was Robert? Did you have a chat with him about costume? And she said, yeah, I was just actually looking on a website for him. And I looked on the website she was looking at and it was Millets.
Oh, my God.
I said, oh, you should try Mountain Warehouse. They've got some sort of stuff that'll... But it was nice seeing you, man.
It was lovely to see you. And it was very exciting to be doing reading through the scripts for the next series of Gary. What I would say is, part of me, when you just said all of that you just said, part of me thinks, for a moment, I'll be honest with you, I fell into your trap of thinking that you were actually complimenting me there. Because I, you know, when you sort of, you went into it and I thought, God, Tom's really...
No.
We know what this is about. So Tom's gone in big, and I've got myself in a flat now because of everything that's going on there. So basically, as I've said to you before in this podcast, Tom is somebody that when he knows there's something good about him, he will compliment that exact thing about you in order to pull the conversation onto himself. Now that is a regular strategy by the Wolf. He does it all the time, right? But like a dickhead, like a naive moron, I walked into...
You were like Oliver Twist.
I walked into the volley
of... Oliver Twist when he first met Artful Dodger. He nicks that bread roll.
I was charmed by Tom's compliments about my face mask and my hoodie and trainers. But the truth is, the reason that Tom has talked about that is because avid listeners to The Wolf Are Now, I don't mean that really. That's the sort of thing that people say, isn't it? Avid listeners to The Wolf Are Now will know that Tom unboxed the fedora on the podcast yesterday.
Episode one.
Now, am I right in saying this is the first time this has happened?
Mm-hmm.
Let me just tell you how much Tom has drunk his own Kool-Aid here. He's combing his beard as I get into this reveal, right? He's actually started brushing his beard as if he's about to step up and win a fucking Emmy, right, for what I'm about to say. So basically, Tom wore the fedora. Now, Tom.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you this now, bro. I actually felt jealous of you.
Really?
Because when you unveiled it on the podcast, I thought he looks really good. It's one thing to look very good in the context of, like, you're showing it to a mate on a Zoom and, you know, you'd already admitted that you're feeling a bit nervous about it. That's one thing. I don't think somebody in my friendship circle has turned up wearing a hat that's out there, you know, in terms of headgear. Because, you know, we've all got mates that wear caps, snapbacks, yeah. Even a flat cap or whatever.
I like the way that you talk about flat caps, like it's a real sort of like absolute. Flat caps aren't like edgy, like yeah. And I mean, look, I know guys who wear snapbacks. I also have a friend who, and keep it between me and you, he wears a Baker Boy.
But what I'm saying is, but what I'm saying is, a Baker Boy is like, that is on the edge of regular headgear, I would say. Do you know what I mean? I'm talking about the litmus test of turning up to meet some mates with that on, right? If you turn up to meet some mates with a cap, they're not going to make any comments, right? You turn up with a snapback, they're not going to make any comments. You turn up with a Baker Boy, you're on the very edge of somebody making a comment, right? Yeah. You turn up with a Trilby, you will get fucking eviscerated, is the truth of it, right? What I'm saying to you is, you wore a fedora yesterday and... Yeah. It just looked, you owned it. It looked like part of your thing. I was jealous.
The thing about it, Rom, is if I can give you some advice, because I can see that you're quivering here a bit, my baby, right, is when you wear something, you've got to wear it with utmost comfort. Like, you're wearing a sick shirt. First, what was the first thing I said? And I genuinely, that was not to get a compliment back, but you look a dreamboat today, right? That shirt is so cool. Genuinely, it's the coolest football shirt I've ever seen
in
my life.
Thanks very much.
Right? If you were to go out in the street wearing that, though, sometimes I've noticed what you do is you like you tug at the bottom hem of it a little bit. You're a little bit anxious about how it looks. You know, like I have seen you do that. But the thing about me is I just think, I guess it's like, you know, like when they put a bow on a pig in a competition, you've got like a prettiest, like rednecks and hillbillies will go, oh, you know, we'll have the prettiest pig competition. And that pig look, feels incredible because he's got a bow on. I think in my head, like anything, just clothes in general, you just got to own them, you know. Do you think that or?
I'll tell you what I think. I think that when you're paid a compliment, you become one of the most disgusting creatures I've ever witnessed. Let me tell you something, right? This is a bugbear. I talked about it at Gary yesterday with you, right? This thing of like, that people are constantly, when we get the emails in, people are going, oh, you know, lovable Tom, sometimes you're a bit horrible to Tom. I want you guys to think about how this went down in the opening in this podcast, right? First of all, Tom sucker punched me with a bunch of fake compliments about what I was wearing.
No, I meant them. You
right?
Were really cool.
Because he wanted me to talk about his fedora, which I duly did, right? Knowing that I was being manipulated, I went into it. And then drunk on his own sort of praise, Tom then compares me to a prize pig wearing a bow. And by the way, I did the word prize there. He never said prize. He just said pig. Right.
Oh, I said a pretty pig.
A pretty pig, right. So he's compared me to a pretty pig wearing a bow, right? You all heard that. That's how this guy behaves, okay?
Look, I meant that from the bottom of my heart with absolute earnestly, right? Okay?
Well, listen, while we're talking about that, we're talking about yesterday's rehearsals, which were good, which were good fun, you did something which I would describe, and I'd like to throw this open to the listeners, right? You did something which I would say is on the edge of acceptable, okay? And that is, I was sat back, and now, Tom, you and I are both similar in terms of there are only of the I don't know how many positions, if we were posable figures, I don't know how many positions you could put us into, right? But I would say, of the number of positions that you can put us into, I would say about 7% of those positions are kind of acceptable for human visuals, right? You know, to look at, right? There's only about, if the light's a certain way and you're being looked at but from a certain angle, then you might look all right. Otherwise, you look horrendous. Now, that's part of the problem. When I get ready, you look at yourself front on in the mirror, right? And you go, I sort of look all right. Today, I won't cry about how I look. And then you go out, right? What you don't know is what other people are seeing, and you're not aware until somebody, I don't know, grabs a photo of you. Now the reason I'm talking about all this is yesterday during rehearsals, we had a little break in rehearsals, and I went to look at my phone, and I'm going to tell you this now. I've got an unfortunate seating position, right? And that is that I sort of move my butt forward on the chair and kind of lean back onto the chair.
Onto the back of
the chair. I would say a slouch, right? A slouch. Now, what that does is that has the side effect of sort of presenting my gelatinous stomach as some kind of platter. I could eat a meal off my own stomach in the way that I sit, right? You know, that kind of disgusting thing. That's okay when you're amongst friends and colleagues, as I was yesterday. What I don't expect is to be scrolling through Instagram, right, to see on my friend, the Wolf's, Instagram story, that picture of me looking fucking disgusting.
It was a boomerang, by the way.
Whatever, but worse, right?
You didn't look disgusting. Right. My thing was mainly, I didn't even see how you look. I didn't look
Okay, but that, first of all, I looked like that. Tom knew what he was doing. He was like, look at him, fucking little fat owl, right? He's taken a photo, and then to fucking volley it home, he's then said, watching old clips of him at the Apollo.
The punchline I thought about. Someone messaged me last night, right, and said, and genuinely meant this earnestly, said, does Rom only have three fingers? I was like, what? I looked at the boomerang and I was like, it doesn't look like he has three fingers. It's not, you can only see three fingers. Look, I feel like a little bit bad at that. Let me just give you some context quickly, though,
go on.
All week, there's been a bit of a thing where people have been in rehearsals. Everyone's got a bit dizzy about the fact we've not seen anyone, and it's been a bit like cray-cray. So people have been doing that. Laura did it to me, Laura Checkley, the wonderful Laura Checkley. Simon's done it. So there's been a little bit of that going on. I've done it to Laura. So that little snappy sort of, which feels quite juvenile, but it almost feels like sort of like we're teenagers again. We're out and about. So, I do feel quite mortified. I saw your face and I noticed probably for about an hour after. I noticed like when our fish and chips and your chips arrived, you didn't look as happy as I thought you would when I brought you those chips.
I was delighted with the chips. Tom bought me chips. Is this another thing where you want me to tell people that you bought me lunch?
I'm just saying. No, look. But what I was like, I was very conscious and I did want to say, but then I thought if I say it in front of the whole room and say, hey, well, I'm sorry about that picture, everyone might, feel like, and I didn't want you to be painted as a victim there. I know how you can get about that. So
it's unbelievable. You can't help yourself, can you?
What?
So you've been doing rehearsals all week, basically, right?
Yeah.
So you're buzzing your tits off. You're buzzing your tits off, I take it.
Yeah. So I mean, I'm very happy with how it's going. It's nice just to be out and about, like not out and about because you're sort of just in an office and you're not allowed to leave, and you're under strict. How do you find the tests, by the way? That woman's very. Do you have the tests with that? The woman we had the tests.
Yeah.
Do you have your tests?
The swabs. Yeah. I have. I've had quite a few of them. I've sort of got used to them now, but I think I really do think there seems to be with these COVID tests. So for those of you that don't know, I can't imagine there's many people that don't. But how it works is swab in the back of the throat, and then that same swab goes up either one or both nostrils, depending. It seems to depend on the test as to whether they do that, right? Now, when you look, it says you've got a. There's instructions, like apparently it's got to be 10 seconds flapping around the back of your throat, right? Like, and then you've got to push it up a certain way. It seems to be completely dependent on the medic who's administering it.
Yeah.
As to, I swear some of them, like, they love fucking absolutely, they love getting, like, pushing it till they get a reaction. Do you know what I mean? So you start, like, gagging or some shit, man.
The woman yesterday came at me with, like, a wooden thing to hold. She went, your tongue's quite, like, we had trouble with your tongue last time. So she, like, levered down on my tongue with this wooden sort of spatula thing and then went at my throat. I gagged. And she went, until you gag. Sort of like gagged and it was horrible in front of everyone as well. No, like it wasn't personal. And
the truth is that I don't know whether that's good bedside manner there. You know, saying we had a problem with your tongue last time. I don't think you needed to know that. I think they just pull out the wooden thing and they go, this is what we're doing now. You don't have to say, listen, your tongue's too big for your mouth. That's why we've got you don't have to tell the person that, do you?
But are these guys like normal nurses where they're trained in bedside manner? As nurses, do you get trained in bedside manner,
or is that just? I mean, I imagine, and this is. I'm back. By the way,
my mum was a nurse, but I've never. I could probably ask her rather than you.
Yeah, I would say of the two of us, the ex-teacher turned comedian, or your mother, the nurse. Yeah, I think it's a safe bet that she's probably the one to go to. But I imagine they've got some sort of training in that. But mate, we had a mad one, right? So. When Lisa was pregnant with Theo, our first son,
right?
Obviously, you're much more nervous about anything during the first pregnancy, right? So we were like freaking out all the time, and you're constantly Googling shit and stuff like that. So you're on high alert at all times, right? I just started doing stand up then, I think, and I'd entered some local comedy contest or whatever, and Lisa had come with me to the gig. She was heavily pregnant at the time, and then my brother. Proposed to his now wife, right? So we went
at the gig.
No. This is like that same evening. What a horrific! Can you imagine? Now that we're here at my brother's quarterfinal of Brighton Chuckles, I think it's a great time for me to sort of say I love you. And
it really made you get him up on stage to do it.
Yeah, thanks a lot. So that's been my time. Thank you, judges. And just while I'm here. Dinesh, get your ass up here. So we went back to celebrate, just say congratulations or whatever at my mum and dad's house. And then when we got home, Lisa said, oh, I haven't felt the baby kick for a little bit, right? And I said, well, exactly how long? And she said, I'm not sure, but I'm a bit worried about it, right? So we call the hospital the next morning because I said, let's leave it a bit and see. And then early in the morning, she goes to me, I'm just not sure. So we phoned up the hospital and we said, look, this is the situation. I said, come in, right? So we come in and we go into the go in, and then the midwife at the reception goes, "Well, when's the last time you remember feeling the baby kick?" And Lisa goes, "Oh, I'm not sure, actually. I think at some point last night." She just went, "Last night? And you're only here now?"
Oh, God.
Right?
Oh,
so
man.
Already...
can I just say, by the way, as you're telling this story, I know the end of this story because I've seen Theo. I genuinely feel sick. I feel so anxious.
Mate, it was so mad. So, like, so when we go in and then they put the... whatever, the heartbeat, these like pads so they can you can hear the baby's heartbeat, right? So they sit Lisa down, they put the pads on, straight away we hear Theo's heartbeat, okay? So a massive relief, we're all calm, right? And then she goes, imagine if you hadn't heard the heartbeat and you'd left it this long.
She said that?
Yeah. She goes, how would you feel? She goes, you know, you've got to be careful. And then she walked out and Lisa broke down into tears, man. And I just thought, I just was like, what the fuck, man? Like, I don't understand that. I was trying to think to myself, what is the logic behind doing that, right? And from one point...
There's no logic behind doing that.
Yeah, but possibly, you know, if you're giving her the benefit of the doubt here, possibly she's thinking, I think she's not reacting quick enough to... They're not reacting quick enough to when something comes up. So this is a way of giving her a short, sharp scare... So
what, tough love. Tough love is the worst love.
I guess
so.
I know, but I'm trying to think to myself, she can't... There's no way she'd be an arsehole. I just don't think you work in the NHS.
Mate,
if you're
that,
an
sorry, man. That is, look, you don't do that in like, you don't make it like that. That's like fucking feels like a, like, how you deal with shit like that is go, look, guys, seriously, like, don't feel bad about it because we know this is your first kid.
But next time.
Basically, like, always be, you know, prepared. Is it precautious? Is that a word?
No. Always be cautious. No. Take precautions.
Cautious, that's all right. But caution, yeah. Err on the side of caution is what I was looking at.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. You know what I'm saying. Err on the side
of
caution,
you're saying.
Yeah?
I know what you're saying, yeah.
Right? She could have been sweet with that. I get it at first. Even the first reaction of like, oh, like, what, last night? That's shock.
This episode is brought to you by Etsy. Sound the gifting panic alarm. You need to get an amazing gift. Wait, no, the perfect gift. Relax. Now you can use Gift Mode on Etsy. Gift Mode on Etsy takes the stress out of gifting, so you can find the perfect item for anyone and any occasion. It's easy. Just tap or click Gift Mode on your Etsy app or Etsy.com. Then answer a few short questions about who you're shopping for and what they like. And Gift Mode instantly gives you curated gift ideas based on hundreds of personas. Now it's simple to find gifts made by independent sellers for all the people in your life. So whether you need a housewarming gift for the new homeowner or a birthday present for the pickleballer, Gift Mode has you covered. Need to find the perfect gift? Don't panic. Try Gift Mode on Etsy now.
This episode is brought to you by Smart Food Popcorn. Some decisions aren't the best, like skipping ahead in your favorite podcast. Think of all the banter you'll miss, the lore in the making. Luckily, Smart Food Popcorn is a no-brainer. Deliciously tasty and available in a variety of fun flavors. It's a smart decision every time. Smart Food. Add smart. To learn more, visit smartfood.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code Spotify for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
The second bit of that where she's like, imagine if this hadn't been. Like,
mate, it was insane.
You don't do that.
It was insane. But every now and again, when Lisa's doing stuff, I just say, remember how careless you were that night. Just think about it.
You've now got a double act with that nurse, that horrible matron.
Yeah, she's back again. Old sloppy bollocks here. Doesn't seem to know what she's doing. Can you have a word with her? Because she just won't listen to me. Anyway, look, very quickly, we're not going into emails yet, right? But I just want to, just off the back of what you just said, somebody sent an email in about me picking you up on stuff, right?
Yeah.
And I just sort of want to address this, okay? So this is from Owen, who Well, first of all, he sort of said that I was right about the percentage thing. Right?
I like the way that you're still. No, but
that's not the reason. It's just.
You know, by the way, just quickly, everyone, yesterday in rehearsals, I did turn around and say, oh, well done, everyone, you've given it 120%. And Romesh just did this really little, like, eyebrow moving sort of like, I thought we'd done this face.
Okay. Do you know what I find genuinely sort of impressive, actually, in you? Is your ability to condense so much stank even into like a 5-second sentence? It's like fucking like just unadulterated, just pure. Do you know what I mean? You put so much fucking distaste for me, just fucking distilled. It's like a little fucking hardcore shot of Romesh fucking shade. It uncut. You ever seen you listen? I know there's Romesh shade going about. You ever tried Tom's Romesh shade? You only need a little bit of it, and it will fuck him up, mate.
It's like Bolivian.
Anyway, he says, in fact, mathematically it's impossible, blah, blah, blah. I personally, this is where he sort of flips on it, right? I personally find it quite persnickety, to be honest, that people.
Persnickety is a great word.
Well, I'm glad you picked up on that because persnickety is not a word. So,
oh, really?
Yeah. So it doesn't surprise me that this guy's used it in Attack on Me and you've chipped in to say that you love that word.
I think it's just an outstanding word and I will definitely use it at some point.
Well, I've literally, first of all, you've only just heard it. And then I reckon what? 2 seconds after, not even that, a second after you've heard it, I've told you it's not a word.
Yeah, but it sounds cool.
It does sound cool.
It is a word because it, mate, it's a fucking word because it's in an email. That makes it a word.
Okay, so is also is is everything in an email a word? Is that what you're saying?
Wait, if someone writes something down, it becomes a thing, right? Like at some point, right, in the past,
yeah.
If I'd have said, oh, and you are actually getting a labradoodle from what I remember, right? If I'd said, oh, yeah, labradoodles, and you'd gone, oh, there's no such thing as a labradoodle. Oh, there's no such thing as a labradoodle. And I go, well, no, there is, because John Hill down the road has, like, combined a Labrador and a poodle, and he's made a Labradoodle. Like, now it's a thing.
Yeah, that's, that's what that thing is named, Tom, right?
Yeah, but when
Charlie, our youngest son, was younger, right, and he didn't know how to write properly, he wrote, right, instead of his name, F-R-Z-K-L or some shit, right, because that's the only letters. So are we now supposed to recognise Frizzaluk as a word? Because he's written it down somewhere. That's now a thing. Because Charlie invented it.
Right?
Oh, look, your name's Frizzaluk now, because that's what you think it is. We're all gonna pander to your belief that this is a word now. Oh, look at Frizzaluk.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense. Persnickety does. But if I was to turn around,
let me tell you something.
Oh, God. And someone said, oh, I love Romesh. She's great. And I said, oh, I love Romesh. She's a bit persnickety. They turn around to me and go, oh, yeah, I get what you mean.
Yeah, they do get you what you mean because it's so close to the correct word, which is pernickety. I don't understand why you would insist on just fucking adding pernickety is the word. That's the reason you like it. You've heard people say pernickety, all right? You're aware of what pernickety means, so you like pernickety. He said persnickety, right?
I arguably think it's a better word.
Why is it a better word?
I think the S really emphasises the snickety. Snicky's like sneaky, right? Pernickety is a little bit like being sneaky. I think it's like the added S really like embodies the word.
Okay, fine. But what I'm saying is, in a world where you're trying to use language where other people understand, you can't just fucking... what is that? That's a rhino. I think it should be called a runo. That sounds more like what it is. It's a runo. I'm going to call it a runo from now on. You sound like a fucking idiot.
Mate... Genuinely, what you think you sound like an idiot. If I was out somewhere and someone said that about you've just said that, I'm not without lying, mate, and I'm not at all putting this on for effect. I think a rhino actually looks more like a runo.
Please,
I genuinely mean that. Well, I've never thought about it before, but if like at the zoo, I've always just like taken it as like, you know, God basically did all this or ever did when it worked, you know, and they were called rhinos. Someone had to name them. They might have got it wrong.
What do you mean, get it wrong? You're fucking naming something.
Someone named it. We all just went, okay, we'll just call it that.
Correct. That's how naming things works.
Yeah, but why have they got the luxury of doing it? Like thousands of years ago. It's like we should Tom, be able to Tom, just go, actually,
first
you know
of all, first of all, let me just say something. The first time somebody saw a rhino, the name wasn't rhino, okay? It was something else. I don't even know who the first person was, right? So now in our language, in English, it's evolved to be rhino, right? Now, the reason you think it's okay that I said runo, right, is because it sounds like rhino. What if you suddenly decided that it sounds like it looks like a sklatch? Oh, that looks more like a sklatch to me. And then from then on...
That doesn't make any sense at all.
Well, runo doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, but they feel like runo.
The reason that people know what you're talking about is because it sounds like rhino. Do you understand?
Well, if I turn around to you, yeah, but then that's not true. Because if I went, oh, that's a lovely field of nows.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Exactly.
What do you mean exactly? You can't say something. And it's like going, we know how like 2 + 2 = 4. Yeah. Well, exactly. It's my point proven. You got to say, is that relevant to the argument?
Because if it was a room full of, like a field full of cows, right? And I called them nows, you'd go, I don't know what you're talking about. But if I went, oh, look at all those runos running towards us. You'd know what I meant, right?
Yeah, I think you mean rhinos, but we're talking about a field of cows, aren't we?
I just think that, like, things should evolve. It's a whole percentage thing again.
Okay, no, before you carry on. I actually do agree with you to a point, okay? I do actually agree with you to a point because the truth is what you're saying is a genuine phenomenon because language changes. We are constantly getting new words being added into the... I totally agree with that. And the idea that language gets frozen, you know, somebody decided at this point that this is what the word... These were all the words and you keep using those words and that's where it is and it's never going to move. I totally agree with you on that. The movement of language, I'm totally in favour of. What I'm not in favour of is taking a word that does a job perfectly fine and then just sticking a fucking letter in it just for the hell of it.
Right. So if you had a business, right, making, oat bars, right?
Now, are you talking about oat bars now? Because I don't know. You might be talking about muffins, but you think that oat bars are a better name.
Right. Okay. We could say muffins or oat bars. You've got a factory, right?
All right.
Okay. And you're doing okay, you're cracking on with it, yeah? Your business is working well enough, but you're not top end.
Yeah.
You're not up there with the best of the best,
sure.
Muffin-wise,
sure.
Right? You want to hit up the biggest muffin franchise in the world.
Okay.
Right? And someone tells you, oh, there's this guy, Peter Clark, who's amazing at doing, like, making muffins. He's got some great flavours and stuff. If you add him to your already brilliant, like, you know, business, you can have the best muffin business in the world, right? So you go and get Peter Clark. Even though you had a business that worked better and then Peter Clark comes in, then you do have the best muffin business in the world, right? So when in the case of pernickety, if you add the S, for me, that's an infinitely better word.
The idea that you would use, in order to explain adding S to pernickety, you would use the example of Peter Clark joining a muffin business for it to become the number one company in the world. Fucking blows my mind. That you would take me, knowing that life is finite, that you would take me on that long a journey to make that point.
No, but the point is made, and now you can't really argue with it.
Now, I'm going to be straight up with you, Tom. I actually do think that I do think there's logic to what you're saying. I'm going to tell you that
Thank you.
Straight off the bat. Okay, so if we can carry on. But believe it or not, I still haven't read this fucking email, right? So I personally find it quite persnickety, to be honest. And people that feel the need to correct you on things, such as this, no offence, Rom, are more often than not, I find, intentionally trying to wind you up. What pisses me off the most is when I'm messaging someone or put a post up somewhere and some random persnickety prick feels the need to tell me you need to put your apostrophe R-E, not your. Do I, though? Because they know what the fuck I mean. I imagine you have two different opinions on this and would love to hear them. Now, this is my take on what... This is from Owen, right? This is what my take on Owen's saying. I am not the guy to correct you on whether you've put your or your... I couldn't give a shit about that, right? And that is not what I'm trying to do with Tom. Secondly, I'm going to tell you this, right? I am not trying to upset Tom. I'm not trying to have a go at Tom. I love Tom. He's one of my favourite people on the planet, right? I love that man. And it doesn't matter how many times he makes a mistake, my opinion of him will never change. He's one of my favourite people, right? The reason I'm picking him up is because I don't want him fucking going around saying persnickety to people, right? I'm just sort of having the discussion with him. Now, there is an argument to suggest that, Rom, maybe if you were really a mate of Tom's and you were trying to help him out, you wouldn't discuss it openly on a podcast. And that is a valid argument, right? But what I'm saying is, I'm not
but
coming
then we
at
probably
it.
Probably wouldn't have a podcast.
No, exactly. But the, what I'm saying is, I'm not doing it because I'm trying to have a go. It's just that I sometimes cannot fucking believe the words that Tom uses.
And if I can jump in here, sometimes I'd say like 30% of the time, Ramesh has got a point when it comes to stuff. And I'm like, oh, actually, maybe that isn't the right thing I said, or that word was wrong. Sometimes, you know, this is what I'm going to say, right? If you're a maverick, Owen, right, a true maverick, yeah, and you walk between the raindrops, like moi, don't worry about what other people think. Straight away, brother. Like, I'm going to tell you now, like, Ramesh, again, I throw that back at him. He's one of my favourite people in the world. I love a debate with him about things because the way you see the world and different people see the world, that's fine. Like, you know, we've just had a 5-minute interlude about rhinos and ronos, right? Okay? Or runos. Was it runos or rhinos?
It was runos.
Yeah, runos, right? In that argument, we're debating. Let it be a debate. And also, I'm with Rom, by the way. I will say this about Ramesh. My texting to Ramesh is foul on the basis of, like, I've written scripts and I do all this stuff, right? There's a thing called spell check, blah, blah, blah. But Ramesh has never once picked me up on any text that I've ever sent him. You know, but we have this debate. That's what friendship is. So, Owen, fight your corner, brother. If you don't want someone to pick you up on it, just say, don't fucking pick me up on it. Or say, it's actually easier to write you're than you are or whatever with the dash.
I sort of agree with a lot of what you've said there. I would take slight issue with the sort of way that this sort of walking between the raindrops and making it out like because you use words incorrectly, that makes you like some kind of Martin Luther King figure, I find incredible. But look,
some people, right, some people just sit so far on the edge. That's the edge, right? And they are sitting on the edge, right? And some people are happy in the middle, conforming, and going, oh, we've been told to talk like this and say these things. I'm like, mate, like, let's just fucking think outside the box.
Yes, no, I know. You're absolutely right. Me using words correctly in their proper context makes me a real square. I'm really embarrassed.
What else have you been up to this week, my G?
Well, I did the first episode of the Ranga Nation.
Yeah, I recorded that.
And it's so weird, man. So I'm doing it in the studio on my own, right? I say on my own. There are people from the team there, but none of the producers are in or the writers or anything like that, right? And there's a few camera operators and they're all like, they've all got to be locked off and sort of maintain social distance. So basically I walk in and everybody has to stay away from me because we've got to be safe. And so I basically just walk around like an outcast.
Wow.
Do you know what I mean? Like as soon as I walk through a corridor, just people just fucking scatter. Do you know what I mean? Because they've got to stay away from me. It's mad.
How do you find that sort of vibe, though? I'd still find myself getting a bit conscious from it. Are you? But then, me and you are different in a way because you're not that tactile as a person, are you? I'm tactile. Like me, I'm on someone, a little handshake, a little fist bump. I love handshaking, man. It's one of my favourite things. I really miss it.
I've got to be honest with you. I'm happy for handshaking to not come back.
What? This is the thing I don't get with you. I just don't get it. You're fucking this classicist when it comes to all these different things. You're sort of like, handshaking's been around. It's like, some of the biggest moments in history have been settled with a handshake. And now I'll tell you what, that first handshake, which I hope is a really like noble and sort of excellent one, that will be on TV of like, oh, you know, this is the handshake that we're coming back to civilization with. I think it's important, man.
I just think, like, why do you think a handshake's better than a fist bump?
Right. I don't know. I just think a handshake, I like fist bumping. Like, let me even push it even further. Yesterday, you had some chips left. I couldn't finish your chips. What kind of society is this now? I know why we're doing it, but I can't wait to get back to normal. So I could my dream scenario there was, and I can't wait for that day when you're like, oh, Tom, I can't finish these chips. And I'm like, may I, sir? And then you just give me the chips and I shake your hand for it and then just go over and finish your chips.
Yes. That too is we share the same dream in that regard. I like hugs, by the way. I'm a fan of hugs. Do you know what I mean? I do like
hugs. I've had the hugs with you.
One of my issues with handshakes is that they are disease spreading, right? My other issue with handshakes is I always feel slightly nervous about what type of handshake the person you're meeting wants. Do you know what I mean? Like, because sometimes there's loads of different things. There's just a regular handshake. There's a handshake where you bring them in for a hug. There's a handshake where you swoop the hand up and do a little thing. There's a handshake and then a lean in for a kiss on the cheek. There's, you know, there's all sorts of shit. And I actually find it slightly anxiety inducing, if I'm being honest.
Really? Look, man, the way I see it is like doing up your trainers, isn't it? It's like some people do different things with the trainers. In the end, the best way is to do it classically. You know, crisscross, tiny little bow. Yeah, that's the best way. So when it comes to a handshake, firm, look the person dead in the eye, little handshake, and then walk away. Right, there's always going to be differences. There's always going to be changes. Yeah, and this is the thing, you know, I guess the nerves that you have, you know, you've just got to basically sometimes just get on that surfboard and just fucking waddle it home, boy.
Yeah, I will do that. Are you the same level of tactility? I don't even know if that's a word. As Catherine?
No, I'm probably more tactile in some ways.
Yeah, I'm more tactile than Lisa, and it's an unpleasant dynamic. I just made that sound like I'm being predatory to my wife. But what I mean is, I like hugs more than she does.
Yeah.
And if you looked at us, you'd probably say, "Well, that's massively unsurprising. I don't find that shocking that you want to touch your wife more than she wants to touch you." But it's a weird one, isn't it? Trying to negotiate that difference.
So there's nothing that I think like sort of like earth shattering as asking for a cuddle, which in itself just a name. There's no name of it, like cuddle or hug is sort of emasculating and then being rejected for it.
Oh, God.
I actually get a lot of people messaging me saying, "I bet you're great at hugs." Which I don't know if to take as a compliment.
You are great at hugs. You're one of the world's great huggers. But you're right, that sense of rejection. And also the other thing is that when Lisa and I were first going out together, we would hug a lot, right? And now I know that all that time that she was hugging me, in her head she was thinking, "I can't wait till we get to a point where I can just tell him this ain't the thing for me."
When did she have that conversation with you and she was like, "I don't really like hugging anymore"?
She didn't. She just started saying things like, "I'm hot. I'm quite hot.
Oh, no.
I'd hate if a fat Asian man tried to cuddle me." Now, you should say it sort of as if she's talking about it generally.
Is that why you had the kids? That's why you had three kids so the cuddles could come back. Are your sons cuddlers? Or?
Yeah, they are.
That's good.
They are. They're big cuddlers.
Yeah,
yeah. Although the eldest one's starting to find us a bit embarrassing. Do you know what I mean?
Really?
Yeah. He's always. It's a difficult one when your kids start to find you embarrassing because I consider myself to be cool as fuck. Right.
I mean, no, I'm with you on this. I remember the moment I sort of at secondary school realised that anyone that I'd been friends with at sort of like juniors had got cooler than me, and like they dropped me like a fucking bag of old shitty potatoes. Like that was literally like, even as a kid, that rejection of sort of like looking and going, "Oh wow, like I'm gonna have to find out a whole new group of friends because I'm not like that coolness has got." Did you have that, or were you? How were you like at school? Were you like the cool guy? I can remember the feeling, and it actually makes me feel sad now, of the first day at secondary school, like arranging to meet some people in the playground and them just being, "Oh, no, we've got these people in our class now," and da-da-da. And there's a whole new friend group that I wasn't a part of had started. And I was just sort of like, "Oh, wow, like this is..." I felt like Don Corleone when he first comes to America in Godfather 2 and he's on his own. That's how I felt for about the first 2 weeks of school.
Yeah, mate, I do relate to that a lot, man. Like, I try and talk to my kids about what it's like, what their school life is like now. And it sounds like, I think the values are different, but it's still hard to be a kid trying to find your way in school. Do you know what I mean? But I was like, when I was very young, I was just massive, like fat, so fat, right?
Yeah.
So fat, with a lazy eye, I just don't think you can be one of the cool kids when you look like that. It's impossible. No, do you know what I mean? No. You can't, because other kids are looking at you going, why would I? I know this sounds horrible, but other kids are like, they think like this. They're just like, why would I? Why? How could he be one of the cool kids? How could he be someone I'd even want to hang out with? Do you know what I mean? And so then, I lost a bit of weight and got a bit slimmer as I went into secondary school. But I do think it's still got better a bit later on, because I think being a bit of being fat, having a lazy eye or whatever, it then means that you compensate with like chat and stuff. Do you know what I mean? So that's sort of, it's sort of almost like training. Do you know what I mean? You start kind of being able to be in conversations, but being one of the cool kids. No, I wasn't ever one of the cool kids.
I remember at school being, I think it was like when we first started secondary school and, Ninja Turtles were still sort of, I mean, we're a similar age, right? Ninja Turtles, I'm a bit younger, but Ninja Turtles were still a thing. And I remember sort of saying to a guy that I've been friends with at junior school about like,
before we carry on this, because you throw little things like this unchallenged and people believe them. So how old are you?
41.
Right, so I'm 42, okay?
I thought you were like 46. I swear that someone told me you were 46.
Are you shitting me now?
I swear I've thought all this time. That's why I've made the jokes about it. I've always thought like you were 46. Obviously not always 46. I thought when we first met you were like 38. But like now I think you're, yeah.
So hold on. All this time you've been talking to a man that you think is 46 years old for this last...
I didn't know you were only a year older.
Hold on. Do you know this changes the fucking whole dynamic of our relationship?
Yeah, but for me a little bit more, because I've looked at you as this senior fucking figure who'd have been leaving secondary school when I joined. Like now I look at it and think, well, actually, all this stuff he's saying, he's only 1 year more experienced in life than I am.
Tom, this is blowing my mind here. Did you really think I was 46 years old?
I swear I thought you were 46. I've even told people you're 46. Like, are you genuinely fucking with me? Are you only 42?
What? First of all, 42 is old, right? Secondly, I honestly, mate, I don't know how to fucking deal with this. So all this time you're talking to me, all this time we've been mates, I've been under the impression that you see me as like a mate on your level, but now you see me as some sort of what, fucking uncle or something.
No, I'm not an uncle. I've got other friends who are sort of your old age. You're 46. Like,
it's not my age. You've got to get that out of your fucking head. It's not my age.
I can't believe this. Like, I think this will make us closer, the fact there's only a year in between us. Because I've been sort of so references that I've been talking about, like, you know, that you talk about.
So sometimes you've been referencing stuff and you're going, oh, this old fart won't understand what I'm talking about.
Mate, if I'm honest with you, I've genuinely thought, fucking hell, it's mad that in 4 years it'll be Rubbish's 50th. So, how mad?
I'm fucking spinning out here. I'm spinning out. This is put a different complexion on every single interaction we've ever had.
But it's more worse for me than you.
How is it worse for you? How are you the victim in fucking assuming that I'm 4 years older than I actually am and fucking telling people? For all I know, you might still be saying that to me because you go, actually, do you know what? Rom says he's 42, but I think he's better as a 46-year-old. So that's what I'm sticking with.
No, I would... Look, if I'm honest with you, sometimes I've turned to people and say, oh, Rom says he's 46, but I think he can handles himself more than the 35-year-old. But, like, I genuinely... Now I'm like, oh, fuck it, there's a year between us. I don't want to drop the person in it. I'll tell you off air who told me you're 46.
Wow.
That's mad.
I don't know if I can continue doing this record. Oh my god!
Do you feel that not sideways by it?
I think when somebody's a bit older than you, you think about them in a different way. I've thought of us like I consider you like a, you know, like your brother. We're on a level. We're the same age. And now actually, it turns out
I just thought of you like an older brother.
Yeah, I don't want you to think of me like an older brother. I don't like that.
But you'd be my brother. Like when I started school, you were just about leaving and sort of taught me the ropes.
Look, I don't know how to feel now.
Listen, don't worry about it. Don't think about it too much. You've come out of this better than I have. I've got to get my head around so much stuff.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. hosted by Kevin Hart. The 7-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
How?
I like it now,
all this time when I've gone,
You're like Benjamin Button. You've got 5 years back.
Okay, first of all, it's four, all right? Secondly, your perception of how old I am isn't the general barometer that, unless you've told everyone, right? Okay? Thirdly, all these times that I've said stuff to you like, you know, like how self-conscious you are about appearance. Do I look all right? Do you know what? You're looking quite young for your age. Actually, the truth is, you could mean I'm looking 2 years older than I actually am. Do you get how fucking huge this is?
Mate. All these things that we've talked about, I didn't realise that it was just like literally. I mean, when's your birthday?
27th of March.
So you're literally like, so you're 42 this, you're 43 this year?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm 42 on April the 27th. Oh, fucking hell. Like, nearly exactly a year older. It's a year and a month older than me. It's insane.
I just can't. You've been sitting here all of these. Why has this never come up before? How do we not know? How come I know how old you are? You don't know how old I am.
I don't know. I took it that also, like, guys of your, like, fake age, right, sort of don't like talking about the fact they're over 45. It's a massive thing.
Yeah, but wouldn't know. I'm not over 45, Tom.
Yeah, no, but that's what I mean. I didn't want to mention
Listen. Tell me the name now. We'll bleep it out, right? Who is it? What a piece of shit.
I swear.
That's because that's how old he is.
Yeah, I know, yeah. It's mad, isn't it? I swear he said at some point he was the same age as you.
Oh, God, I feel sick. No wonder you're right with me being called the owl.
The whole of the cast of King Gary think that you're 46.
Why? First of all, if you find out my age, why would you go around and tell everyone?
Well, you know you have that conversation about how old everyone is. We've just haven't had that conversation together.
How dry has the chat got on the King Gary set that you'll start discussing how old everyone is?
I think, no, I was like, da-da-da-da-da, and someone was like, oh, how old's Ramesh? And I'm like, 46, 47, sort of, this year. Well, at one point, when we were talking about having COVID vaccines, they were like, when's Ramesh going to get his? Like, it's one of the oldest statesmen on the show. It's like, I do feel bad now, because I feel like we've gained something special, though.
I feel like we've really lost something here today.
Yeah, but look, this is the difference. You are half empty, I'm half full. I look at it, right, and I think, wow, like, you know, I've been looking at this guy in such a different way. And it is, age is so important. You've been put a few years back in school now. Like, you were the older kids, and now you're in my year again. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, because all kids love to be the kids that are held back. So what happens? I've been held back 4 years, and then I rock up to class. And you're like, aren't you 4 years old enough? Shouldn't you be like leaving now? And I go, no, I'm in your year now.
Oh, man.
Look, mate, that has thrown us off here, right? So do you want a few emails?
Yeah, let's do a couple of sweet emails.
Okay, this is from Big Tony, all right? Now, Big Tony is asking us a genuine thing, but he does also take time to throw in a little bit of abuse at me. Okay, so here we go. Hi, Rom and Tom. After a bit of advice, lads, I was with my ex for 7 years, and we've been split up for the past three. But we keep meeting up now and again. Seems like we're never out of each other's minds. The relationship wasn't the best towards the end, but the bedroom was always exciting. I mean, I had boundaries, but she was like Chris Gayle in a T20 match. Do you know what he means by that?
No, I've got no idea what it means.
Chris Gayle was like a very exciting batsman.
Okay.
Just smashing it over the boundary all the time.
Like the Ultimate Warrior in wrestling, yeah?
Yeah, she pegged him now and again. Anyway, I've been thinking I need to move on, lose a bit of weight and get myself a fresh start. Or do I just bite the bullet and try things out with the ex? I was going to try going vegan for a while, but that hasn't worked out the best for Rom. So, Tom,
two-footed challenge.
I know. As I was reading it, I was really surprised by it. I was sort of like, this is quite, he's after a bit of advice, and then he just puts in this absolute fucking smash. I've not been so insulted since one of my very best friends thought I was 4 years older than I actually am.
Go on, what's the rest of his letter?
Also, yeah. Tried my hardest with the grammar in this because I know Ron would rip it apart. Anyway, love the show, lads. Never stop laughing. Keep them coming. Stay safe and all the best. Big Tony. So I guess what he's asked is his request for advice is twofold here, Tom.
Yeah.
First of all, he wants to know about your weight loss tips. Secondly, should he try things with the ex? Now, before you get into this, Tom, because I'm sure you will have some good tips. It sort of implies here that he's either going to try and lose some weight and go and find someone new, or he's going to get together with his ex and then just not bother with any of that, which is like a weird set of decisions.
I think, if I'm honest with you, you can deal with both bits of advice with one really good bit of advice, which is do you. You just, genuinely, whether it's you get back with your ex or you are going to, your face, Ron, by the way, is, but this is going to be the best advice this Big Tony ever has.
Okay.
Right? Do you. Don't even think about whether you get back with her or not. Number one, my weight loss thing has nothing to do with anyone apart from myself and my constant worry that I'm about to have a heart attack or drop dead in the street with heart disease because it's run through my family. So that should be your main concern, not whether you're going to sort of like go on the prowl and pick up more ladies. It should be the fact that you want to do it for yourself to be more healthy. And let me also, by the way, say, I have on Romish's behest, and Romish having talked to me a lot about vegetarian and vegan cuisine. I'll have a curry tonight and there'll be no meat in it. I won't have anything with meat. It will actually pretty much be a vegan curry. I won't even have any paneer or anything. So
what you're saying is that as a result of your friendship with her, you're having a curry. As a result of your friendship with me, I've inspired you to have a curry tonight. Is that what you're saying?
No. Don't start getting all this, mate.
I'm not getting anything. I'm saying that's what you're saying. No.
You've inspired me to have a vegan curry tonight. I've been having curries a lot longer than I've been friends with you, my 46-year-old friend. Right? But what my point was, and also may I quickly say as well, I saw Romish yesterday and the picture that I put up is very deceiving because he looks in incredible shape. He does look good. This is not me saying it for any other motive, but I do know that he struggles as I do with people saying stuff about your weight and stuff. And I think it is very harsh to say that. And, you know, none of us are bulletproof. And Big Tony, I think you probably, you know, listening to your email, I'm glad probably you've been called Big Tony for the same reason I was called Big Tom. Apart from being tall, I was a massive yeti of a man with a massive gut, which a lot of people find hilariously funny, but is a constant bugbear of mine because I worry that that is going to be very much the thing that kills me. So I think, Tony, this would be my advice. Lose weight, whatever. Do that for you, though, and do it for your own mental health and your own well-being. But also, if you keep on going back to this woman and you think that there is something there that's more than a sexual fricassee, then
wow. I'm not even going to go on.
You're not going to unpack that, no?
No.
I think try and just get having watched a lot of Married at First Sight and taking on that advice, and I think it's a good program for you to watch, Tony, is try and get it out of the bedroom a bit. Try and make it a little bit just different from that. And if you still haven't got any basis, then walk away, my brother. Bid her farewell and go and find another dame.
I'm going to tell you now, I thought that was exceptional advice. It really, really was good. What I'm saying now is I'm fully aware that I'm sort of just repeating what Tom says, but I couldn't have agreed with him more, really. The truth is that your weight loss and your relationship status should be completely independent of each other. You know, if you want to lose weight and you want to get in shape, you do that for you. Whenever I'm talking to Lisa about, because occasionally I have a thing where I'll look in the mirror, I'm wearing a certain top, and I'll go, should I, like, you know, am I starting to put on weight? Do I look awful? You know, should I try and lose some weight? Lisa's answer to me, and I'm sure Catherine's answer to you, is if you want to, you know, if that's going to make you feel more confident, do it. And the other thing is, the reason I'm losing weight, same as Tom, is like health reasons, man. Do you know what I mean? I think that this, my days of trying to get in shape for vanity, that I've accepted that that is not in my future. So, listen, the truth is, Tom's absolutely right. I'm echoing what he said. If you want to lose weight or whatever, then do that. But that is that should have no connection with whether you get back with your ex or not, man. See what you think. Good luck to you, Big Tony.
Yeah, Big Tony. From one big guy to another. Go easy, go fly.
Okay. This is from Steve Cummins, all right? And he says, hi, chaps. I've been enjoying your podcast over the past few weeks while walking the hound. At a few points, I've had to stop and take a breath and stuff as I've been laughing so much. Thank you very much.
Cheers, thank you.
There have definitely been some highs and lows along the way, but the question I have is this. If you guys are such good friends, and by the way, this is very pertinent, this email. I picked it out beforehand, but with regards to what the fuck has gone down today, this really is a good one. Yeah. If you guys are such good friends, then why have you never visited each other's gaffes? I understand Rom has a shit phobia, but by the sounds of things, the big man is well up for it and it has more than one shitter. Could be a cracking podcast for the future. Regards, Steve. Now, it's a good question, though, isn't it? This is what I think, all right? Is that I think because of the jobs we do and just how we end up seeing each other and all that shit, and also how times we're on, I don't think going to each other's houses is a thing that happens as much in friendship as it did before. Do you know what I mean? I just think, I don't know if it's like partly because of the industry that we're in, but like I see you, obviously I see you at work, I chat to you all the time, and whenever we see each other, it'd be like we're out. Do you know what I mean? We're out at a party or a wedding or a whatever. Not a wedding, makes it sound like we only meet once every 15 years, but do you know what I mean? Like, do you know what I mean? It's like it doesn't feel like a house
also,
thing as a thing.
We don't live that close to each other. So I think if I lived in a, you know, next village down or even a county away, there would be more chance that you and Lisa would have popped over for a bite to eat or whatever, or me and Catherine would have come to yours. I think the fact is that we live, it's a big, big move. On the basis, me and Rom get on really, really well, right? Very well. Our wives, I'm sure our wives would love to sit together and bitch and moan about how irritating me and Romesh are. And they believe they have got a lot in common. It would literally probably be actually like a therapy session for them both, because they both had the same problem of dealing with two very anxious men who are constantly worried about what other people think of them. But it's a big move for either of us. If Romesh said to me and Catherine, oh yeah, come and stay with me and Lisa, we'd have to stay over for the night. There's no, you know, and likewise for Romesh and Lisa. So that's a big move for us to do. It's not just a little pop round. I mean, I'm genuinely thinking about moving house just so I can pop round to Romesh's a bit more.
Okay. Not something we've discussed.
Yeah, no, just saying to you. I mean, look, guys, I'm going to be honest with you. Sort of everything has changed a bit in this podcast. You've been privy to sort of actually genuinely like a sliding doors moment of our relationship. Like the guy that I knew, the guy that I knew going into this podcast was this sort of worldly man who sort of like had sort of 5 to 6 years on the planet longer than I did. And, you know, I come out of this knowing that I've got almost
four,
a twin.
It's 4 years. It's 4 years in your head. It's actually 1 year.
Yeah, yeah. And now I have to question everything of like how, you know, is he just more learned than me then? Is he just, you know, did he pay attention more in school than I did? So
all this time, like you've been thinking things like, oh, the reason he knows that a rhino is called a rhino is because he's 4 years older than me.
Yeah, but I always respect my elders. That's one of the two fucking moral compasses.
Fuck you.
But on what you're saying, and I do think it would be an amazing podcast that we could do from one of each of our houses.
Listen, I tell you what, should we do it?
Yeah. Lockdown's over. We'll do a podcast. We'll do a podcast from Rom's and then we'll do a podcast from mine.
Here's what I'm suggesting, right? Now, we might not do it exactly like this, but this is how I think it could go down, right? You and Catherine come to mine, right?
Yeah.
Stay over. You and I do it.
Do you know what? Wow, man. That is the biggest invite of... That's like me being invited to the royal wedding.
No, but this is what I'm saying, right? We do. You come over, right?
Yeah.
Have dinner at ours. At the beginning of the evening, right, or maybe midway through, you and I step out and do the podcast. Yeah. Do the first half of the podcast. And then, before you hit the road the next day, we do like a reportage of how it went down, like the next one. I think that's how we do it.
That'd be amazing. I think let's do that. And then we could do like a month down the line, we do it where you come to mine.
Yeah, perfect. Or maybe 2 months or something. Let's just see how it goes. Right, Tom, my G, do you want to do the thing that many people are describing as the highlight of the podcast for them, which is both
really
complimentary to the podcast and deeply, also deeply insulting to me. But Tom, take us out, brother.
Yo, how you built, how do your frame go? Look at yourself, right? Are you you because of you? What makes you you? Is it the fabric of your personality that has been welted and molded over the years through schooling and bad relationships? Or are you you because of a physical thing? Maybe you're you just because you're big and you're big boned and you're carrying a little bit of timber, but you've made that your identity. Maybe it's your age that can make you feel the way you do, make you more senior. There's nothing like peeking through the curtain and pulling back the blinds and saying, once upon a time, I used to be 46, but I'm actually 41. I used to be Big Tony, but now I'm Little Tony. The you that we will love and we will always cherish is the you that circuses around in your veins and in your core. And that is the truth of life. You've just been schooled, babe.
That really was. I think even you were surprised by the way that you opened that. I think that was.
I just know. That might have been. I don't know where that came from. It came out so much different in my voice than it was in my head. Yeah.
You are the you that's circusing in your veins. That's beautiful, beautiful chat, man.
Yeah.
Tom D, thank you so much, brother.
Romy Rowe, love you, baby. And let me just say, I love you at 42 like I loved you at 46, darling.
Thank you so much. Really couldn't mean less. This has been The Wolf and the Owl. Peace out. If you have a problem, opinion, feedback, or anything at all, please email us at wolfowlpod@gmail.com. That's wolfowlpod@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you, mainly because we don't have any content ideas. Thank you.